We are going to start off the sermon with a hypothetical situation. We like getting free stuff, right?
Yeah.
Unless it's somebody else's junk, then it's probably not as worth as much as we want it to be. But in this example, I am going to give each one of you, and again, this is hypothetical, I'm going to give each one of you $1,440. Okay? So I want you to think about that. So that's a nice amount of money. That's not a 20. It's not a $100 bill. It's a lot of money. $1,440. Okay? Now, there's two stipulations with this money. You can spend it on whatever you want. But whatever you don't spend by the end of the day vaporizes. Like Infinity War, Thanos, if you're on his bad list. All right. Now, but here's what's cool. The very next day, I'm going to give you another $1,440. And the same rules apply. You spend it on whatever you want, but you have to spend all of it, and whatever you don't spend goes away. All right? So just think about what you would spend the money on. And by the way, if this happens every single day throughout the year, it would be just over $500,000. That's a lot of money. Okay? So how are you spending the money? You're going to spend it on, I guess, whatever your heart desires, whatever your priorities would dictate, right? And this is not a savings model, because whatever you don't spend, you can't save it. It's gone. Okay. Now we're going to shift gears. This next hypo is not a hypo. It's a real deal. I give each one of you 1,440 minutes a day. Because that's how many minutes there are in a day. 1,440. So here's the question. How are you spending those minutes? Because the same scenario applies. You can spend it on whatever you want. And at the end of the day, whatever you haven't used is gone. So, the question is, what's more important? Time or money? I think it depends on what age you are. When you're young, okay, the young folks always sit over here, so they're the go-to. So what's more important, time or money? Would you rather have the $1,440 or the 1,440 minutes? It depends, okay? So there's some point in life, and depending on who you talk to, the crossover time typically where time becomes more valuable than money is usually somewhere in somebody's 40s, where you start to realize, you know what? I am mortal. I'm not going to live forever. And so my time is more valuable than my money. Now, you still need both, right? You get the one. By definition, you get time. But in the case of money, you don't quite know. So today we're going to actually talk about time and how we're using it. And it's always a good time of year because the dreaded New Year's resolutions are floating around, aren't they? 2019, it's a time marker, right? It's an artificial man-made marker. December 31st finishes one year and January 1st starts another year. But we tend to characterize our time in, hey, how did 2018 go for you? How was it? It was pretty good. All right? Anybody say it was a stellar, awesome year? We got one taker. We got a few takers. We got a wavy, all right? We're wavy. And for some, you probably experienced some really big trials. And you would look back and say, you know what? Compared to other years, 2018 was not that good of a year. But here's what's cool. Not only about when we come to God and we look at our day and say, well, I did some good things, but I also did some things that weren't so good. I have sin in my life, and God is so faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we get a constant series of do-overs. God wipes it away and brings something new. His mercies are new every day. We woke up this morning and it was a new day, full of opportunity, full of potential, hopefully full of energy. And you're ready to charge into the day and hopefully accomplish something that's valuable. How is 2019 going to be for you? I'm sure we have a lot of dreams about 2019, don't we? We hope to accomplish X, Y, and Z. We hope our spouse overcomes A, B, and C. All right? Not in my case. Or we hope that certain things are going to happen. But what's the difference between a dream and a goal? What's the difference between the two? Well, goals get a lot more specific, don't they? I can dream and hope for certain things, but in order to make it a goal, in order to give it some better chance of actually succeeding, I have to do some things in order for that to happen. Here's what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff that life is made of." We read in Ephesians 5, you can just make the note, we're not going to turn there, but in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now that word redeem is an interesting word. It can also be translated to buy up or to rescue from loss. If you're redeeming something, whatever the state of that something or someone is, needs to be bought, like a ransom. You need to give something to get something. You need to rescue it from the current state of loss that it's in. And so that is what Paul is telling us in Ephesians, that we would redeem the time, that we would value the time that we've been given. Because we all know people who, over this last year or two, are no longer with us. And so their time on this earth is gone. It's over. But yet, if we woke up today, and because you're sitting here today, you have more time. I don't know how much money you have, but what I do know you have right now is time. But how much more time do we have? Only God knows, doesn't he? Only God knows. So Paul is saying that we ought to redeem the time because the days are evil. When we think about plans that we make in our life, it says in Proverbs 16:9, again, you can just make the note, but it says in Proverbs 16:9 that a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So see, we have plans in our heart, don't we? Of things that we want to do. And hopefully the things that we want to do are in line with our Father in heaven. They're aligned with our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that we're not making up plans that are whimsical or random or arbitrary or don't have a compass that is solid on the rock of Jesus, but that our plans would be solid and foundational in Him. Now, I do want to cover today some different areas, and so this is in effect going to be a working sermon. It's going to be a working meeting. Don't you love when you hear that at the office? This is going to be a working meeting. It's not going to be somebody just pontificating. It's going to actually be something that hopefully all of us will engage in, no matter how young or old we are. Because as long as we have time, we have the ability to redeem it. We have the ability to plan it. But first and foremost, we ought to know and trust that God cares about our plans. That we can make plans, but it's the Lord that directs our steps. That we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness so that all the other things in our life would follow. But that the first and foremost, the number one thing we would do is always seek the Lord in any plans that we make. And so I'm just going to ask that we do that now. And so I just pray, Holy Father, thank you for this wonderful time that we as a congregation, as a body, as a fellowship can come together and that we can be contemplating the plans that you have for us, the plans that we have of ourselves, and that we desperately desire to invite you in to our lives. That, Father, we desire that you be here today so that as we think and reflect as a group, but also think and reflect individually, that you would be first and foremost in our mind. And so thank you, God, for your faithfulness to always be with us and that you promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so What I want to do today is I want us to just think about our lives. I want us to reflect on where we are going this year. We have such tremendous opportunity living in the United States of America, living in 2019. That's amazing, isn't it? To say 2019. It's 2019. What happened to 2018? The older you get, the quicker the years just fly by, don't they? Man, they are flying by. Okay, so as we get started here, I want to put a framework around what types of goals are meaningful. I want to look at some categories of goals. And in each of those categories, I want to start with the foundation of God's Word so that any goals or objectives that we come up with spring from the Word of God and not just airdropped from somewhere. So that, again, our foundation, our compass, our rock is always God's Word and God Himself. So, some of you may be familiar with the process called SMART for goal setting. How many of you have heard of the SMART model? Okay, maybe 10 to 20% of you. Okay, so SMART. Any goal should kind of follow this model. Okay, so the S is for specific. The M is for measurable. The A is for attainable. Or if you don't like the word attainable, you can use the word achievable. All right, the R is for relevant, and the T is for time bound. The degree to which a goal that you would come up with in your life, the degree to which it follows this model is the degree to which your success factor increases. So it should be specific, it should be measurable, it should be attainable, it should be relevant and time bound. Okay, so specific. It needs to be something that you can write down. And it should probably have action words in it, right? A goal means that you're doing something, that you're pushing in against something, hoping to receive something or produce something in return. Measurable. You want to have data. You want to have metrics. You want to have something against which you're comparing your progress in the goal. Something that's attainable. All right. Now, probably the biggest Green Bay Packer fan in here is Todd Wahobiak. Okay? So if Todd puts on his list that he wants to be the QB for the Packers, I'm going to coach him to say that that's probably not attainable. You can wish all you want, Todd. Your goal needs to be relevant. And in this context, as Christians, the relevancy of the goal should be that it's God-driven. That the relevancy and the fact that the goal matters should be grounded in the fact that it's based on God's Word. And then the final point is that it should have some kind of a time element to it. Okay, so for example, a goal that's on my list is that I want to continue to be a good husband. All right, so is that a good goal based on the SMART model? How do I measure it? Exactly. Now, let me vector in something as well to this. And as we go through here, hopefully this will be helpful. But with a goal, if you can have somebody who's going to help hold you accountable, is that a good thing? That's a good thing. If you have somebody who's going to check against, hey, listen, I've got these three goals that I'm really hoping to accomplish this year, but I need an accountability buddy. Not a moving buddy from Toy Story, but I need an accountability buddy who's going to help me with my goal. All right. And the other thing is to realize, and this is really amazing when you start going through this process, and I'm excited to go over some verses here, but to realize that we have a lot more in our control relative to what's out of our control. Because I think with goals, we end up giving ourselves an out sometimes because we say, well, because so-and-so didn't do thus and such, or because the economy was this way, or because of some other factor outside of yourself, something you don't directly control, we tend to give ourselves a pass. But realizing that a good goal is something that you know is within your sphere, not just your sphere of influence, but also within your sphere of control. I want us to keep those things in mind. So the I want to be a good husband is a good sort of guiding principle. But a guiding principle is very different than a specific goal. So let's keep that thought in mind, and maybe you can help me come up with a better goal than just, I want to be a good husband. All right, so I want to start out, the best place to start out. Turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Again, I'm going to hit maybe two or three verses. We're not going to turn to them. I may just reference them so you can jot them down and then maybe later on go pursue that in more detail. But we see here in Matthew 22 and in verse 37, we see the two great commandments. Matthew 22, 37 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, are those two great commandments, are they guiding principles or are they goals? Okay, they're guiding principles, and we're going to unpack it in just a moment. Turn over with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. I absolutely love these two verses. I love them so much. And as the kids, you guys just did. Okay, how exciting is it to see the kids up here doing the memory verses? That is so exciting that they've hidden the word in their heart at such a young age. And I love it when you have, okay, I'm going to pick on Naomi. Okay, Naomi Smith. You remember when she was younger, she was so shy and it was just really hard to get a verse up. But now she's up here and she's just getting it done. And what was cool is while Caleb was doing his verse, Naomi was mouthing that verse. And then she had another verse, okay? And so hiding the word in our heart, and especially at a young age, kids just can memorize things. And so anyway, I say that, one, because I'm excited about it, but number two, that y'all have a whole month, parents, that this is such a beautiful, beautiful two verses. In Jeremiah 9 and verses 23 and 24, it says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." That he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. See, God desires that we know and understand him. Guiding principle or a goal? It's a guiding principle. Because in order to know and understand the Lord, you need to be doing some things that are much more specific than just mouthing the words, right? Okay, and we'll get to that in just a moment. And then the last one I'm just making a reference to, and that is to do the will of God. That we would be walking in the Spirit, fulfilling the will of God in our life. And again, I could go over a whole lot more verses, but I'm just teeing up the sort of spiritual category of goal setting. The spiritual goal setting. So we have this idea that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourself, that we would be doing the will of God, and that we would be pursuing a life where we know and understand the Lord. Right? Do we all agree on this? These are guiding principles that I just read straight from God's word. But now we come to 2019. We come to you specifically, and we come to this. So what would be a specific SMART-driven goal that we could articulate? Just one. We could spend the rest of the day doing this. But what would be a goal that would accomplish one or more of those guiding principles? Anybody? Todd. Okay, to read the Bible in a year. All right, I'm just going to write that down here. Okay, so I'm tempted to get a bunch of input, but the first person I call on in this category, what we're going to do is we're going to drill into this one. Okay, read the Bible in a year. So who thinks that that's a good goal? Okay, who could improve on that goal? Anybody? Haley, what would be a way to improve on this goal? Okay. To have a reminder, but how frequently do you want that reminder? Do you want it to come on December 31st? No.
every day. Okay, so how about a daily plan? Okay, so what we probably want to do, we probably want to drop it to maybe a daily goal, right? So a daily goal, what would be a good daily goal? I'm going to read, I mean, there's all kinds of Bible programs, right? Where it's read the Bible in a year, but you need to read this on January 1st, you need to read this on January 2nd, you need to read this on January 3rd, and so forth. So a specific goal, what is that going to do to help accomplish the three verses we went over? Loving the Lord your God, doing His will, and so forth. You're going to know Him a lot better if you read His word. Okay, exactly. Exactly. Now, this one sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? It sounds pretty simple. How many of you, by show of hands, are in a daily reading program? Okay, I would say less than half of the congregation is in a daily reading program. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're not in a daily reading program that you're not reading God's word. But what it might mean is that the frequency with which you do spend time reading God's word probably needs to be improved. And see, there's no shame in that. And look, let's just get the cards out on the table here, all right? So I am in a Bible reading program right now, but I am behind. In fact, I'm behind kind of a lot. Okay, now I'm doing other readings and of course all this, but see here, I'm trying to justify it, right? Okay, now my dear wife, she's on point here. She's caught up. But I'm not. Okay, so I need to get the let out. I need to get going with my Bible reading program. Okay, but now there's a whole bunch of other, and again, I hope that as you're going through, maybe you're jotting down, hey, this would be something that I could specifically do and I would commit to doing in 2019 that maybe I didn't do in previous years, but I want to get more serious about knowing and understanding God at a deeper level. Well, how is that going to happen? It's not just going to be, I hope that I can know and understand Him better this year than I did last year, but that you're then going to take it to the next level and get something specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, you know, rooted in God's word. And you're going to put some kind of a time frame by it. And you're going to admit the fact that you've got control over this goal. And if possible, if you desire, that you would bring in an accountability partner to help you along the way to accomplish a goal that is going to have a dramatic difference in your life. I think as human beings, we love it when there's that big thing that we can achieve. Throwing the winning touchdown pass is a super cool feeling. Okay, but before you can throw the touchdown pass, what do you have to do? You got to learn how to throw, which makes it a lot easier. But what you have to do, yeah, you have to practice. Not just once a month, okay, not just once a week, but you have to engage in a daily practice of your cardio, your muscular system, going over the plays, understanding and reading defenses, and then those little things that add up get you there. Okay, going to the dentist twice a year is not going to ensure that your oral hygiene is appropriate. Going to the dentist twice a year, or even once a year, I need to go to the dentist. I didn't go to the dentist in 2018. Man, I am confessing all these things right now. But going to the dentist twice a year, if I don't do the daily things, the daily brushing, the daily flossing, boy, I've never done that. Life is about the little things. It's knowing that the little things that you do every single day are going to add up to something that actually matters. A relationship with your spouse isn't about doing flowers once a month. I don't remember the last time I gave flowers to Carolyn. My goodness. Okay, I just think I'm done here. I should just stop. The best sermons are those that you give yourself. It's about doing the right things in the morning with your spouse. It's about doing the right things midday and at the end of the day and before you go to bed. And then getting up the next morning and doing it again. And then doing it again. That's what makes a difference. And maybe that's the main point here today, is that we realize that it's those daily little things that are specific, measurable. Now, what's great about goals and discipline and habits is that, you know, they say that it takes 21 days to start or maintain a good habit or new habit. But it's about doing things to the point where they become automatic. Okay, I don't need a reminder to tell Carolyn I love you. Okay, or what can I do to help you today? That those are the little things that are going to help build that case of being a better husband, or being the kind of husband that's going to be pleasing to God, and it's the kind of husband that's going to be pleasing to Carolyn. Okay? But it's those little daily things. So I would just ask that maybe you just come up with two things under the spiritual category that you're going to say, self, I'm committing to do these two things this year. And reading the Bible every day, whoever's done it, okay, knows what a dramatic difference it makes in your life, right? Prayer is a whole other category here, right? Daily prayer, okay, praying continuously throughout the day. Okay, so we got to move on. We're running short on time, and I hope my confession period is over. Okay, physical health is another category. Okay, again, you just make the notes here for purposes of time, but if you go to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, it talks about our body being a temple of the Holy Spirit, and it goes on to say that therefore we should glorify God in our body. And that's not just limited to a spiritual context, it's also actually coming in the form of sexual purity, and that we know that our body is a temple, and that in all ways our body is the place in which God dwells. We know the Proverbs speak against things like gluttony and drunkenness. In 2 John, he says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Okay? New Year's resolutions often talk about health. All right? So if we look at physical or health, what would be a good, specific, smart-driven goal? Anybody want to shout one out? Okay, get to the gym. Okay, get to the gym on a schedule. Okay, is that a good SMART goal? No. Let's improve it. Do you want to take another shot at improving it, or should we ask the group for help? Daily. Are you committing in front of all these witnesses, Chris, right now, to go to the gym daily? So 6 days a week, you're committing to go to the gym. You've been working up to it. I think if you can go 6 days a week, that would be amazing. Okay, I'm going to give you an accountability partner, though. Okay, so get to the gym. All right, how about if we compromise? And let's say 3 times a week. Is that fair? Okay. All right, let's say 3 times per week. Okay, so is this a SMART goal? Right? It's specific, it's measurable, it's attainable, it's relevant, and it's time-bound. How long are you going to be there? Well, you're going to be there so that people see your cool workout gear. 5 minutes, right? Okay. Go ahead. So what do you want to say?
Let's say 45 minutes.
45 minutes. Okay. All right. That works. That works. So I would simply ask, do you have any physical or health-related goals for 2019? I have a workout direction. My goal is 3 times a week to work out, right? And I am not consistent in that. But my goal for 2019 is to try to achieve that on a more consistent basis. So there it is. Okay, good. All right, we're going to move on. Okay, so physical health. So I would just ask, have you made any goals? I would say that in each of these categories, and maybe there's even more, we're going to run out of time before maybe you want to, but that's the way it is here. There's other categories that we're not going to cover that you may want to establish a goal, or maybe you have a goal. All right, what about another one here? What about financial? What are your financial goals for the year? Again, you can just maybe make the note on some of these here. It says in Proverbs 22:7 that the borrower is servant to the lender. Right, so if you are in a borrowing state, then you are servant to the person who is lending you the resources there. Ephesians 4 tells us that we ought to work with our hands and labor so that we could then have something to give to other people. Right? Paul tells us, with what kind of heart should we give? We should give cheerfully, right? Not grudgingly. So what's the presupposition behind Paul's statement? That you're giving and that you have something to give, right? So that should be part of our financial lens, that we don't just make enough money for ourselves, but that we would actually be making enough so that we're in a position to give to other people, and Lord willing, in a generous, very enthusiastic way. It says in Proverbs 13:22 that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So that we have enough discipline in our financial life that we aren't just looking at today, but we're also preparing for tomorrow. We're preparing for a time yet to come. That we're deferring or denying immediate desires and needs and saying no to them today because we're saying yes to something in the future. Right? Okay, so who wants to shout out right in the front row here? What would be a good financial goal that is smart driven? Wow. Save 10% per check. Okay, let's test it. Is this a good smart goal? Okay, yep. It's specific, it's measurable, it's attainable. If you discipline your spending, right? It's relevant. It's consistent with not being a borrower and saving up. And it's time bound because most people get a check every couple of weeks or twice a month. So should we give our dear friend Juan a round of applause for that good goal? All right. Are you doing this? Not 10%. Okay. But today you're thinking about it now. Okay, and maybe you've caused some other people to think about whether that is something that they can do, should do, are able to do, right? Okay, all right, should we move on to the next one? Okay, let's go. The next category is emotional. Do you have any emotional goals this year that you have set? Okay, Noah just admitted that he does. He set an emotional goal. I'm not going to ask him what it is. I'm going to give him time to think about what it is. Okay, so an emotional goal. So what do I mean by that? We are creatures of emotion, aren't we? We have emotions running through our body. Now, there are so many. I wrote down like four or five here. I probably will rapid fire them, but some of them are so powerful because, again, they're guiding principles. They're not specific goals. And let me give you one example. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, it says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Is that a guiding principle or is that a goal? It's a guiding principle. Can we take that statement and make a goal out of it? Yes, we can. Hold the thought. Okay? Let me just drain the bullets I have here. 2 Corinthians 10 talks about bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All right. Wow. If we actually did that. You know, by the way, let me just take this time to say, as I was going through this, I was thinking to myself, should I establish a verse or a theme for my 2019? That I'm going to, I haven't done this yet, another confession. But if I come across a verse that I really like and is powerful and speaks to me to say, boy, if in 2019, if the only thing I accomplished was to make this a part of my life so much that it becomes second nature, I don't even think about it. What if we did that with Philippians 4:6? To be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let that request, because it says every request, let it be known to God. What if I did that alone every single day of 2019, how different my life would be? And again, maybe some of these are going to trigger to say, wow, that really speaks to me today. The Holy Spirit is telling me that this verse is powerful today, and I need to do something about it in my life. And maybe there's more than one, but there you go. Bring every thought into captivity. Okay, Philippians 2 says to do all things without complaining. Ah! Okay, the emotion of complaining. Oh, man, I can't believe that that person did that. It says do all things without complaining. Okay, forgiveness is another element that if we don't forgive, there's a whole set of emotions that come and get rooted here and have a work that works death if we don't forgive. So that's another guiding principle. James 1 tells us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Ephesians 4 tells us, be angry, but don't sin, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And then in another place it says, to give thanks in all things. Okay. So with that smorgasbord of opportunity, does anybody want to throw out an emotional goal that's smart-driven for 2019? Linda. Stop complaining. Oh, boy. So, Cal, are you going to encourage this one? Okay. Yay. Okay, so, good smart goal or not? No. Okay, so, Linda's confessing. Thank you, Linda, for being transparent. Linda wants to stop complaining. And I think we should all help her. Zero complaints in a full year. Okay, so, is that attainable? Probably not for somebody who is asking for help. So again, God gives us all these guiding principles with which we can view the end game other than saying, God, I'm human, I'm a sinner, I have issues. Lord, give me a heart of thanks. Please, Lord, give me a heart of thanks and do a work in me that other people will be transformed and say, I can't believe that you stopped complaining. Okay, so in any goal that we come up with, what should we be doing? Bringing it to the Lord in prayer and saying, Lord, these are my plans. And these are really good things, aren't they? To lay them out before the Lord and say, Lord, these are my plans. Direct my steps, just like we read in Proverbs 16, verse 9. So that underpins everything that we go over here. But what would be a way to take this goal, which is a good goal, and make it smart? Okay, Denise. Not that you have any problems with complaining. Okay, so great, great point. So you're saying, looking at Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So what you're saying, I think, is when a complaint arises, to commit to immediately reading or quoting Philippians 4:8. So we're going to morph this to say that I'm going to quote Philippians 4:8, and then also, I guess, the 2 Corinthians 10, I think it's verse 5, so that I can overcome that complaining. Now, are you saying that Linda should do this before she actually complains? So like she's feeling like, oh, I want to complain, but then she should bring that thought captive and then quote 2 Corinthians 10:5 and Philippians 4:8. And an action item, man, look at this homework you're getting over here from your sister. So now we're going to memorize, and Denise didn't say, oh, she should memorize it whenever she feels like it. No, she said, memorize it this week. Okay. So how do you feel about that? Does that seem cool? You feel wonderful. And without complaint, you're feeling wonderful. You can do all things through. You want to put this one up here too? Okay. Yep, we got a way to measure it. Okay, run a ratio. Okay, you're excited about that, aren't you, Dusty? There's some math going on now. Okay, this is fun. This is a good process, isn't it? I can't wait to see Linda's growth. No, I didn't mean it that way. I can't wait to see your excitement about your own growth. How about that? Oh, she said, does that mean I don't have to listen to other people complain? I give you permission to stop those listenings right now. Okay. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay. Wow. Okay, so again, this is just one. And we went over other verses. There's a whole bunch of other verses, but this is where you can explore and say, you know, God, look, I'm sick of talking and being underwhelmed with where I'm at. So, Lord, I'm seeking you. This is an area that I want to work on. Please bless my ability to overcome this and to show my commitment here. I'm going to run ratios and I'm going to quote verses and we're going to report back and hear how Linda's doing. Okay. All right. So let me move on to the last one as we wrap up here. So the last one, and clearly there's overlap. The last one is relational. As we look at our relationships, you know, we have spouse, we have children, we have parents, we have coworkers, we have brothers and sisters in the body, right? We have our own physical blood siblings, brothers and sisters. And so we think about our relationships and how they're doing. So kind of back to where I started of, hey, I want to be a better husband, okay? So a few thoughts. Again, these are very common verses here that we talk about, that when we think about our relationships, we ought to esteem others better than ourselves. Okay, guiding principle or a goal? It's a guiding principle. It's a truth statement of how God wants us to be, that we would be people that love people so much that we're esteeming their interests before our own interests. Okay, that could be a theme for 2019, right? I am going to be a person who works to esteem others more than myself and to do it with a greater consistency. All right. How about just patience? Patience applied in relationships is powerful, isn't it? We got to be patient with each other, don't we? Be anxious for nothing. Yeah, ties back, you know, to some of these other ones we've talked about. How about one of the bullet points in James 3, verse 17, another great memory verse, when it talks about the wisdom from above? One of the attributes of the wisdom from above in the list is that wisdom from above is willing to yield. Not my way, but I'm going to say no to my way, and I'm going to say I'm yielding to your way. Okay, if we would be people that way in relationships, how much better would our relationships be? Okay, so there's just three examples. There's a whole bunch more we could go over with relationships, but who would like to offer up a SMART goal related to relational? All right, Bill. That one's too hard. Somebody else? Okay, so this is a, would you call it maybe a damaged relationship that you now still see value? Okay, so how about repair a damaged relationship? Okay, so is that a SMART goal? No. Okay, so now let's go further. What is it? So this year. Okay. All right, so repair damaged relationship sometime before December 31st. Get on the phone December 31st. Okay. Okay, so thank you for offering that one up. I think we all can relate to this, right? There's one relationship in our life that hopefully we value enough to maybe pursue. But this is pretty close to this, but what could we do to this one, anybody, what could we do to this one to make it more likely to be attained? Send a card telling them that you're thinking about them. Okay. Let's take one of the $1,440 and then you still have $440 to go. Okay, $1,000 in the card. Pray daily. Wow. Pray for that person, right? Oh boy, that's a good one. As soon as you wake up in the morning. What was that, Denise? Okay, so try to arrange a Q1 meeting. First quarter. Wow. Okay, we had one down here. Okay. Go ahead. What you're saying on the damaged relationship? Yeah, he humbled himself, didn't he? I mean, that's the big rock of that, you know, that Jacob Esau is that when he knew his brother was coming, He humbled himself and said, you know, I am your servant, and what can I do to help repair this? And he gave him gifts. Yeah, so maybe the $1,000 doesn't need to go up here. All right. Okay. So that's essentially what I wanted to cover today, is just to have us be reflecting on insanity, doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So as we kind of just slide into 2019, if we don't sit down and pray and seek the Lord and say, I want this year to be different, and the way it's going to be different is that I'm going to do some different things. I'm doing things that are consistent with the Scriptures, right? Everything we wrote up here is consistent with God's Word. That's the foundation. It's God's Word that springs forth the guiding principles that get codified in specific, measurable, attainable, time-bound goals so that we can become by action, right? It's not just saying the right things. It's not just claiming that you have faith, but how do we demonstrate our faith? It's by our works. It's by taking action that's consistent with God's Word and consistent with a heart that desires to be a better vessel, that desires to be a better Christian in all of our relationships, so that we can truly be the people that God has called us to be. So let's praise Him and let's worship Him. I just encourage you to take time this week and even this month to reflect on how you can be more specific in what you're doing in your life for the Lord. Let's worship Him.